In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Laymen dared to approach the altar of the Lord, and although they offered incense, it was not given them to do. And no impurity, no iniquity can remain within Israel. And so those who had encouraged this, those who had supported it, those who had done it, are consumed by the earth. And die. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Our Lord Jesus enters triumphantly into Jerusalem. The second and greater Adam re-enters paradise in triumph and in glory. And he's rebuked. Teacher, silence your disciples. Meaning, they're blaspheming. By calling him the Son of David who comes in the name of the Lord, they are blaspheming according to the Pharisees and to the scribes, and so they must be silent. And if they will not be silent, Jesus himself will be guilty for their blasphemy. Of course, what they don't understand, and you know well, is that these children and these other disciples are exactly right. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is God himself come in the flesh. He is the Son of David, yet David's Lord, who comes to accomplish all that is written about him in the law and the prophets and the Psalms, that you may be reconciled to his Father in heaven. What else can you do when God the King enters into the city, when the Messiah makes himself known, when the rightful Davidic King enters into his glory? What else can you do but cry out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. It's the Pharisees and the scribes. Much like the men of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, who are spurning the Lord. They want nothing to do with him. They don't want what he brings. There is a sense in the Gospels that they do at least have some kind of inkling that he is in fact the Messiah, that he is in fact the one who has been promised. But they don't want him. They don't want what he brings. They want an earthly kingdom. They want freedom from Rome. They want their own power, status, and reputation. And they worry that if the Messiah has come, then their place will be no more. And that's why Caiaphas says, you know nothing, it's far better that this one man then should die, and the whole nation, the whole world, should perish. And St. John tells us that he is prophesying not because he believed it, but he is prophesying according to his office as high priest. That office which offered the scapegoat sacrifice, which offered the sacrifice of atonement, which went in to the Holy of Holies, to bring about reconciliation between God and men. According to his office, Caiaphas prophesies, not because he believes it, not because he has faith, but because he has stood in the holy place. He has carried out those rites and those ceremonies which are pointing and preparing the people to Christ himself. But he doesn't believe it. And so it is far better that these disciples should not be silenced. Because if they would be silenced, even the stones would cry out in testimony against them, against the scribes and the Pharisees. And I think that's why they've paired this reading with that Numbers reading, is you have the testimony of the stones, that as the earth bears witness to the sin of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, so even the stones themselves in like manner will bear witness against the scribes and the Pharisees. But I think there's also another reason why Jesus says, and another meaning to what he says when he says even the stones will cry out. There was in the first century the favorite racial epithet of the Jews for the Gentiles. They were stones. That the Gentiles were nothing more than dumb, inanimate objects, not worth anything. This is why John the Baptist says, do not comfort yourself to say that we are sons of Abraham, because God can raise up from these stones children for Abraham. And why Jesus says that even if these disciples and children of his should be silent, even the stones will cry out. Because if you reject the Messiah, then even the Gentiles themselves will be brought into the kingdom. Even the Gentiles themselves will be made and numbered amongst his people, and will cry out to confess his name and to sing his praises. And I'm willing to bet that the vast majority of us here tonight are in fact those very stones which bear witness. I don't believe that any of us, not many of us at least, have any Jewish ancestry in our background. At least not enough to be considered Jewish. We are, for all intents and purposes, Gentiles. Stones. But we have been gathered into the house of the Lord. We have been gathered to be a witness and a testimony to the wonderful and marvelous deeds which God has wrought in His Son, namely the accomplishment of the salvation of the whole world by the piercing of His body and the shedding of His blood, and the gifts which He now gives by virtue of His death and resurrection. On Sunday, we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. What Pentecost is about, it's not so much in the tongues of fire on the apostles' heads, but it's in the going forth of the proclamation into all the world that God is reconciled to man, that your sins are forgiven in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so we speak in a new tongue. We confess the name of the Lord God, Jesus Christ. We confess Him before men. We confess Him before one another. We confess, we speak in agreement with the Scriptures of what He says about our sin. We throw ourselves at His mercy. We receive from Him His body and blood to eat and to drink, and so receive that forgiveness, life, and salvation. We are His testimony. We are His witnesses. Every time we gather here in this place to receive His gifts of word and sacrament, every time we gather to have our sins forgiven, our bodies cleansed, and to be united closely and intimately with Christ our Lord and God, we bear witness. And we go forth from this place. We go outside these walls. We go back out into this world, which hates us, which mocks us, which abuses us. And we bear witness. We confess His name. Some are even counted worthy to bear witness with their own blood and by their own life. Who knows who among us will be counted amongst them? But even if we aren't, we are still the Lord's witness, the Lord's testimony, that He has done these things. That He has done these things in us, that He has done these things for us. And now as we go back out into the world to love and to serve our neighbor, to pray for those who persecute us and who hate us and abuse us, to invite our family, friends, and neighbors to church, we bear witness. Not bad for stones. It is like that Canaanite woman. It is far better to be a dog at the Lord's table than to be cast outside of His house. It is far better to be a stone in the Lord's kingdom, one that He has gathered, one that He has set apart, one that He has called chosen and holy and righteous, than to be locked outside the gates, crying to be let in, and hearing that most sorrowful word in all the Scriptures, "I don't know you." Thanks be to God that we are reconciled to Him by Jesus Christ. that our sins are put away, that even when the earth will open its mouth to swallow us whole, like our God and Lord, we too shall burst forth from it alive, never to be held again. For Christ is indeed risen from the dead, and he's not alone. He is the first fruits, and we shall follow him also in resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.